Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, who's Vice President of Operations for AFA and also a public policy analyst for us. And then we are joined by Steve Jordahl, who takes Fred Jackson's place in the chair only and yes, is going to handle the news of the day for us as we kick off the conversation. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, Steve, what...
There we go. I'm having some problems from... Oh, good morning, everybody.
Yes, you're plugged in.
I didn't think it... Okay. Sorry.
You gotta
this is technology stuff. Buttons and everything, I'm a little scared of them.
Yeah. My 91-year-old dad, who's very tech-savvy, is always saying, you got to be plugged in, son. You got to be plugged in.
Phone has to be on to receive calls.
No, my dad's not. He's not tech-savvy. But in his defense, neither is his son. So, all right, Steve, what do we got?
Well, I think we should give thanks that Dr. Fauci has been on the job of this COVID thing, because without him, apparently, according to him, without him, we wouldn't have the vaccine. It's an astounding thing that we all were wrong about who actually got Crossfire Hurricane going. It's not President Trump. It was Dr. Fauci. And I want you to hear him saying so. Cut one.
The decision we made on January the 10th to go all out and develop a vaccine may have been the best decision that I've ever made with regard to an intervention as the director of the Institute.
It's almost hard to watch that without laughing. And with all due respect to Dr. Anthony Fauci, it was President Donald Trump and Operation Warp Speed that allowed us to get to this point right now. I don't know sort of what fantasy land Dr. Fauci was living in, but it was under the direct direction of President Donald Trump that we got these vaccines.
That was Laura Trump, who is a brand new Fox contributor, by the way.
Well, I'm going to just say this as someone who's very good at science, okay? And this, what I just heard from Dr. Fauci, is the consequence of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh, okay.
From having too many masks on.
There you go.
Dr. Fauci has been wearing 4, 5, 6 masks at a time. And he is affected the way his own brain works because he is deprived of oxygen.
Yeah, well put.
Carbon dioxide.
If Dr. Fauci, he just loves being in front of the TV. You can just tell the way he talks. He just eats it up. And I don't know if he's ever turned down a media request because he's on like every week, like 7 shows.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, but you get the point. And to claim, to claim credit for the vaccine, that's laughable.
You know, listen, the guy, and I'm not just saying this because he's Italian, okay? I promise you I'm not. The guy is, to your point, Walker, he is available. The guy loves science, but this is going to probably offend some people, okay? But it's after the first hour, so I don't really care.
Okay. Is this the parental guidance hour?
Yes, this is.
Okay.
Okay, this is a nerd's dream come true, okay? Dr. Fauci, he was probably a nerd growing up. I have great respect for nerds. I have people in my family who are nerds. Some of my best friends are nerds, some of whom work here at American Family Association,
Plug themselves in.
Yes, and can't plug themselves. You have to have nerds to help run the world, okay? But when a nerd is elevated to a place of prominence like the starting quarterback of the high school, they just can't let it go.
It never works out good.
It's not going to end well.
Nerds cannot be promoted to decision-making positions. They have their role. and that's what's happened with Fauci. He's been lifted to this pedestal where whatever Fauci says goes.
Yes, that's true.
And the media they just love it. I want to interview King Fauci. What do you think?
Yeah,
and half the stuff he says is like non-controversial, but the other stuff he says is like not even rooted in science. You know, 2 masks is better than 1, and then he even teased 3 one day. He even said, well, you know, hypothetically, I could see it being useful, and he's like he's creating sound bites, and I don't know if he means to or not, But his sound bites just feed right into this narrative that he's King Fauci.
Meanwhile, last week I saw a picture, Steve, you might have been the one who showed it to me, of the cross-country teams in Oregon competing. These young men, I think it was a men's team, that's why
men. It was mixed, actually. It was mixed.
Yeah. Okay. So, but they were running cross-country wearing masks.
That was the mandate in Oregon that they have to wear masks while competing.
Notice Dr. Fauci's statements never lean towards good news.
No.
They literally never lean towards good news. Everything he says is bent towards the world is burning.
Yeah, and we might COVID have been wearing masks until 2022, he said.
Yes, and then he goes, well, you know, 3 feet, I think we might can do 3 feet.
Yeah.
What the heck? If you're going to do 3 feet, just say, I think we can just get rid of the 6 feet social distancing altogether.
Can you imagine being a young man in medical school wanting to go into public service, and you think your career is going to be sitting behind a desk writing papers, doing reports, you will be credited along with seven other MDs and PhDs, and that's going to be your life. And all of a sudden, you're consulting presidents, you are out in front of the nation every day, you are the biggest thing, the most important man to many in the country during this crisis, and then you've got to go back to writing papers?
Yes.
I mean, how can you not want to hang on to a little bit of publicity and power?
The man's 80 years old. This is it, man. This is his shot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to, in 5 years, get another shot. Like, this guy's world famous.
Yeah.
World famous. So,
yeah, but he had his time to shine. He had the first 6 months of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was on the week. He was on the Sunday shows every week.
That's my point, though.
For 6 months.
So a lot of people can't give that up.
Well, that's an ego problem.
This is why I have so much appreciation for your dad and Dr. Dobson when I was working at Focus on the Family, because these are men who started as normal people doing a ministry, and all of a sudden they find themselves consulting with presidents. Dr. Dobson, I'm sure your dad has probably been in the same rooms, and somehow they don't let it affect them till it goes to their head, so they start abusing their importance. Your dad is about
the
most down-to-earth guy I've ever seen.
Here's what I would love Dr. Fauci to do. I'd love him to go on the Sunday shows next week and say, you know, this pandemic is waning. The Trump administration got the vaccine effort started, saw it through the finish line in December of 2020, and I'm just proud of our country and that we're through this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not doing any more interviews.
That's
because
right.
The pandemic is virtually over.
So
because of my vaccines.
I do want to apologize for all the nerd talk. Okay. We're just tongue in cheek. We're just having some fun with the stereotype. But on the other hand, as an Italian American, I've been the subject of a lot of stereotyping, and it has made me bitter.
Here's the difference, Ed.
Well, maybe a little bit bitter.
The nerds can get at you they can hack your accounts, they can get in, and they can make you look really bad. The Italians, they have to, like, come over here with guns and horses' heads and stuff, and it's a lot harder.
Yeah, you just went right to the stereotype, see? Does it bother me? No. All right, let's move on.
All right.
We had some fun.
In Georgia, they are still trying to pass this bill that is what I like to call a voter integrity bill. Let's be nonpartisan about it. It's a bill that would change some voting laws, and it's aimed at kind of repairing some of the damage that was done during the Georgia special elections and the 2020 election. And it's getting all kinds of pushback. Of course, the media, a Washington Post, just tweeted out something calling it a voter restriction bill. And Joe Biden was asked about it I think it was at his press conference. And I want you to hear what he had to say about this bill. It's just going to be very short. But then you're going to hear Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, responding to this. This is cut two.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick.
You know what's sick is have the president of the United States to play the race card continuously in such a hypocritical way. He said the filibuster was a relic of the Jim Crow era. Well, he made an hour speech when he was a senator suggesting the filibuster was the best thing for the Senate to make it different than the House. This is a letter signed by 61 senators in 2017 when we had the House, the Senate, and the White House, 27 Democrats saying, please keep in place the filibuster. What's sick is H.R. 1. It institutionalizes ballot harvesting. It does away with the voter ID requirement. It will take over every election in every state. It makes the Federal Election Commission a partisan commission.
H.R. 1, of course, the federal effort to to change all the voting laws to federal.
To federalize elections, national elections. Well, I guess it would be state elections, too, because the same rules would apply. Walker, I can't think of anything more racist than for Democrats to say or even imply that minorities aren't smart enough to get an ID.
Yeah.
So that they can show it when they go to vote
yeah.
or when they go to request an absentee ballot. I mean, that seems to me to be what they're saying, is that minorities don't know how to do that.
Yeah, Democrats actually have a history in recent years of saying things that are actually demeaning to minorities. And we saw where Joe Biden, now President Biden, basically said, and I believe he was in the White House when he said this, he basically said that minorities don't know how to fill out the vaccine registration form on the internet. So we need, we have an equity problem when it comes to vaccines. Remember that?
Yeah.
He said minorities don't know how to register to get a vaccine. And that's a problem, he said. So we need to make white vaccines more widely available because right now only white people are getting vaccines.
That's the same excuse they use for voter ID, that they're not
quite
smart enough to
they
get
carry that over.
License.
They carry that over to having a driver's license.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the most insulting statement to say that someone, whether because their skin color or whatever, that they can't do this, they're unable to. They're unable to get an ID, which basically means that they can't legally drive.
So I hadn't heard this part about the vaccine.
Yeah.
So they weren't saying that a lot of minorities are poor and poor people don't have the internet, so they can't get online, or they were saying they're unable because they're just minorities.
I don't think he specified. I think it was so generic, so broad that it could be interpreted either way.
Well,
but even saying that they're so poor, I mean, even that is
because white people can be poor. Yeah.
You can't tell me people can access the internet. We're in 2021.
Yeah,
but here's the deal: if you see the statistics that show there's an equity, which by the way is not the same as inequality, that means the outcomes are different. Then every single time the Democrats are going to go to race because they think it's the winning issue. So,
let me just say publicly, minorities are smart enough to get a driver's license or other government issued ID. I mentioned this on the program before, although I don't recall what I don't know if it was Steven Crowder or one of the others who put up video blogs and such, but they actually went. It was either New York City or Philadelphia, but they went man on the street style and they interviewed black people in the inner city. And they simply said that, do you know how to get an ID driver? Do you know where the driver's license? Everyone they asked knew exactly where you go to get a driver's license.
Sure. And already had one.
They said, I've got one. And then they were told that Democrats are against voter ID laws because they say minorities don't know how to get an ID. And every one of them was insulted by that.
Yeah.
They said, I've been living here my whole life. I know where to go to get, and I have an ID, and that's what I use to vote.
Right.
It was insulting,
so,
and minorities took it as
Biden
an insult.
Biden said in February that he said this, quote, not ever talking about vaccines, getting the vaccine, getting registered to get the vaccine, quote, not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic or African American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and are inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination. So they don't know how to get online.
Yeah. Well, listen, I can understand knowing some older people. I'm 62, so some people may consider me old. I know that there are people who struggle with getting online and access, but everybody knows a younger person. Just have your grandson or your granddaughter come over and get you online.
Yeah, most people I know where you have someone in their 70s or 80s, their kids help them find the vaccine site anyway. So to your point, they helping them get online and register.
All right. All right, Steve.
How about some good news? You in the mood for some good news, or do you just want the best?
This is a passion week.
It is.
This is a week of hope. So let's have some good news, although we will need some more bad news before the end of the hour.
Oh, I have plenty
half
of bad
hour,
news.
But,
I have plenty of bad news.
Okay, all right, good.
So I want to take you to Ohio. There's a Shawnee State University in Ohio. There's a college professor there named Nicholas Merriweather who was approached by one of his students, who was a girl, but insisting that he refer to her, the professor refer to this girl as he. She wanted her pronouns were he, his. He didn't. He said, no, I can't do that. It's against my Christian faith, for one, and everything. And he even agreed, okay, I'll just call you by your last name. That wasn't good enough. They sued him. Well, on Friday, the Sixth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that the school cannot force this professor to use the wrong pronoun. It violates his free speech. Now, let me just read you some of this from the paragraph from the decision. If professors lacked free speech protections when teaching, a university would wield alarming power to compel ideological conformity. A university professor could require a pacifist to declare a war just, a civil rights icon to condemn the freedom riders, a believer to deny the existence of God, or a Soviet emigre to address his students as comrades. That cannot be.
Well, then this is a good news decision. Unfortunately, so let me just bring a little bit of reality into it. Much of the country is still lost, utterly lost in the confusion of this social mania that we have regarding gender. But this is a good decision on behalf of this professor, Walker, and I hope we see a whole lot more decisions like it.
Yeah, this decision was very important for especially one particular reason is we all know, we've seen the studies on the ideological bend of college professors. The vast majority of them are left-leaning.
Yes.
And we see campus reform and others covering this. That is not a fixable problem in the short term. That has to be if you want to fix that, it has to be long-term. You have to have long-term planning.
It takes a generation.
Yeah, to fix that and make the campuses actually more diverse. But, you know, one thing we do need in the short term is to protect those professors who are on campus that do have conservative viewpoints, to keep the colleges and universities from weeding them out and making it virtually where there's no opposing viewpoint.
You know, Steve, the fact of the matter is that free speech on college campuses and universities is a good thing, and people crave it. Now, you've got a lot of young people who are being brainwashed into believing that it's a bad thing to have an opposing view where they protest a conservative speaker coming and they're canceled. Let me give you an example, though, of how this kind of thing can backfire. A lot of our listeners have heard of Jordan Peterson. I think he's a professor at a university in Toronto, Canada. I want to say he's a psychology professor. I think that's his field. I'm not sure his actual professorship is in. But he, in Canada, probably back in 2012 or 2013, stood up against a government mandate that required professors to do this very thing.
Yep.
You are going to, by law, you are going to use the pronoun your students want. He said no. There are videos of him in this, you know, confrontation inside a, I don't know if it was a courtroom or what it was, where he was confronted. And in trying to force him to do something he didn't like, they catapulted Jordan Peterson
right
to worldwide prominence. He has a following in the millions, especially young men, many of whom do not have fathers in their lives. And his common sense approach to life has been transformative for many people. Jordan Peterson, I don't believe, is a Christian, but he is clearly moving in that direction. All that started because this university in Toronto, might be the University of Toronto, mm-hmm, I don't know, tried to force a professor against his will to do something he didn't believe in.
He was making a kind of a fine point, which is lost on liberals who just kind of blast and cancel culture. The point was, and you're right, he's not a Christian yet, but he was making this from a strictly free speech argument. They don't have the First Amendment, but they have something similar in Canada. And he was saying, I will call you whatever you want. If you come to me and say, call me dinosaur, I'll call you dinosaur, but you can't, the state cannot make me do that. This is where I have the problem.
Yeah.
And of course that was lost. And you talk about the college campuses. Do you remember in the 60s, the Berkeley, which is the start of this 60s revolutionary anti-Vietnam stuff, they started with a free speech. They had a free speech plaza. That was
right.
their their demonstration was, we want free speech, and my, how this has changed. It has taken generations, but generations ago, the left decided that they were going to concentrate on the schools.
And take them over.
Take them over.
Yeah.
And while everybody else was talking about laws at the time or whatever, they played the long game.
That's a good clarification, because he, in fact, I've heard Jordan Peterson say, I've watched many of his videos, they're on YouTube. He actually said, listen, I have used the pronouns that people have asked me to use when they come up to me one-on-one. He said, I'm not dispassionate. I mean, I have compassion when people are struggling. I just did not want the state to mandate it. So,
yeah.
All right.
All right, just a couple things. I just want you guys to be aware out there that there's some marketing going on of some Nike shoes. Now, Nike is not involved in this as far as their making these shoes, but they're really not speaking out against them. There's this rapper called Lil Nas X, and he is making some Satan shoes. These shoes will have, they're Nike Air Jordans, and they have put in the sole of the shoe, they've got, you can see through the sole, into the sole of the shoe, they've got 66 cc's of red ink. And they say it contains one drop of human blood. These are called Satan shoes. There will be 666 individually numbered pairs of these shoes manufactured and sold.
You know, Walker, this guy, I've never heard of him. I've heard of Justin. Was it
Bieber.
Justin Bieber? I can't even think of his name. So, this guy here, Lil Nas X. I have no idea who this guy is.
Do you not know how to get on the internet, Ed?
Yes, I do. I couldn't get on there and sign up for a vaccine. So his defense is that his explanation is he's making these shoes to renew attention, to place them on mass shootings and gun violence in America. But this guy, I'm looking at a Fox News story. He released a controversial new song. I'm not even going to mention it. Quickly caught people's attention for the music video that sees him dressed provocatively, pole dancing, and giving Satan a certain type of dance in hell. This guy obviously doesn't fear God. He's trying to make people angry. He may be claiming that this is being done to bring attention to these issues, but it seems like he just wants to be provocative.
Yeah, and it really is indicative of where our culture is, you know, that people would actually buy these shoes. And I'm not ready to go after Nike just yet, because Nike's claiming that they have nothing to do with this, although, you know, brands are pretty important. So I'm kind of surprised that Nike hasn't stepped in here and said, whoa, 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 you don't have authorization to take our brand and remake it into whatever you want to make it. Because, you know, if others did this across the board, I think we talked about maybe some basketball players who have tried to do similar things, and Nike said, no, this is our brand. We make the shoes, which makes sense. I'm good with that. Nike's a private company. But I'll be interested to see what Nike does with this, because they're kind of in an odd position of do you approve this? Do you not approve it? What do you do with it?
By the way, if you're a football fan, the reason this came to Fox's attention is because Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who could be and probably will be the number one pick of the NFL draft, and I believe as a believer, as a Christian, came out and said, this is wrong. Enough of this. It's got to stop.
Yeah, making light of Satan and 666, and Mark of the Beast, and so on and so forth. All right, folks, that is all the time we have. Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Steve Jordahl, thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Brent Creeley, our thanks to our producer. Folks, that's all the time we have for today's edition of Today's Issues, I believe. Tim Wildman will be back in this chair tomorrow. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Check out our Facebook page for some of the stories we have posted there that we covered today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.